Welcome back to another episode of the Mary Valoney Show. I'm your host, Mary Valoney, and you're listening to episode 78. Today, we're going to be talking about how to avoid being lonely at the top. And as you all probably know, it is a bit lonely at the top, but we'll talk about how to avoid it today. So in the meantime, I hope that you guys have listened to the last six episodes where we talked about the six principles of persuasion. We went through that six-part series and talked through each one of these principles, and I hope they've been helpful. I've been getting some feedback from you all and hear that you're starting to implement the ideas. So I want to hear from you. So if you've started to implement any of the principles and you're seeing success, you're seeing some things happen, I want to hear about it. So you can either write a review on the episode that you were listening to through the podcast, and you can do that on any of the podcast app that you listen to, or you can do it on maryvaloneyshow.com right underneath that episode, and or join in and jump into the Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook, and you can post in there as well. And either way, I'll get it. And thank you guys for listening in and for trying it out, trusting me that this stuff works, because it does, because I do those six same things in every aspect of the work that I do, regardless of whether it's my nonprofit work or it's my business work, they work. So definitely go back, listen to those episodes if you didn't catch it, and start implementing those ideas today. So today we're going to be, you know, talking about how to avoid being lonely at the top, but I want to take just a little bit of a trip down memory lane. This is, I've been doing this podcast for about 18 months now. And I started this podcast back in January of 2017, the day before I released my book, Fundraising Freedom. And I started this podcast because I wanted to start having a conversation with nonprofit and ministry leaders. I didn't want you just to read the book and then not have any way of keeping in touch or communicating with me. And I wanted to make sure that we really could do this thing together. So thank you guys for, you know, continuing to keep in communication with me. I love hearing about what's working, what's not, you know, what challenges are you being faced with, you know, and what opportunities are out there for you to start raising new dollars. And it's been a joy. It's been an absolute joy. I think back about, you know, when I was delivering my books to one of my friends who lives in Australia, I remember that story of just being able to go to the post office, talk to the lady behind the register, and her seeing the picture of me on the cover of my book and her saying, "Did you write this book?" And of course, yes. And she bought a copy right there, gave it to a friend of hers. That friend has since become a good friend of mine. And we were connecting just a couple days ago, and we were talking about, we have a mutual connection, of course, because I lost my dad. She lost her son to cancer. And, but I just was thinking to myself, I'm like, this book, this, you know, small 3.5 hour, you know, book that somebody could get in their hands through Amazon or my website, wherever they got it, that it's like, here's this thing that could connect us across, you know, and around the world. And I feel the same way about this podcast, that it's like, it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter what you're going through, that we get to connect and we get to do this thing together. So thank you for allowing me to come into your world and for sharing the ups and downs of fundraising and support raising as you're out there trying to ask and invite people into your world. And I just thank you guys. I just really, really appreciate it. And I've been just thinking a lot lately, obviously, you know, the person who was the most influential person in my life, especially towards influencing the work that I do every day, is my dad. And yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of his passing. My sister likes to call it his heaven birthday. So we celebrated his 5th heaven birthday yesterday. And he passed just a couple days before my birthday. And so this time of year is always, you know, kind of crazy because I just, you know, I miss him all the time, but it immediately, especially with these anniversary dates, they do stir up a lot of emotion and a lot of memories. And I share in my book with you guys that, you know, my dad was the one who really pushed me. He was the one that was with me when I was selling those candy bars in elementary school and writing those letters in high school to go off on my business conferences to start figuring out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And of course, as I was working in these charities, he was the one that I would call, and just, he was just that ear, that voice in my ears, you know, that encouragement that I always had. So he's the one that I continuously look to and think of when I'm working with each of you. And especially those of you who are in ministry, I especially have a connection with you guys when it comes to my dad, because he was just the most charitable man, especially in the area of his faith and his time with the church. And so I often think of you guys when I think about the work that I get to do, and you know, it reminds me of him. And so the other day I was just really thinking about him, of course, and I opened up a book that I had picked up just from a couple months ago. I was visiting my mom because she's putting her house, or she put her house on the market, and she had some things that she wanted me to take home with me. So one of them was actually a missal. I was raised Catholic, and my dad went to Catholic elementary school, high school, the whole process. So he carried around this missal with him. Every single day. It was really an important book. And so when I looked at the date in this book, though, it was when it came out when he was 13 years old. So this was the book that he had when he was a little boy. And when I opened up the missal, out slid this prayer, and it was a prayer card, and it just said prayer for missionaries. And it was really special because I've gotten to share that prayer with a handful of missionaries that I work with. But it's just so neat that no matter where we are, it's like those memories and the connections that we have with our loved ones are still so strong and so prevalent. And so it's really just very special. I always feel like when I talk to you guys, I feel like my dad is also a bit in the conversation, so it's kind of cool. But you know, as I think through this journey and about working with you guys, I just am like, my mind just kind of gets blown sometimes, where I'm like, do I really get to do this stuff? You know, that I get to talk to so many of you guys and hear your stories. And so thank you for coming on this journey with me. You know, when I released my book and put this podcast out there, I had no idea what new people I would meet. You know, just like the woman that I mentioned that I got connected with through her friend at the post office. Like, that just is crazy to me. And I continue to get reconnected with old friends and people who are doing work that maybe they never thought that they were going to be doing, but then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I have to raise all this money, and who am I going to talk to? And so I appreciate that you think about me and that you guys, you know, pick up the phone and reach out and want to do life together. So thank you for that. And so today, you know, as we talk about how to avoid being lonely at the top. You know, when I was reflecting back, and you know, I resigned from my work at the American Cancer Society just a year after my dad passed. So 4 years ago, I resigned and I started this work. And during that time, I really was doing a lot of evaluation. I was really thinking through, like, why do I love the work that I do? Why does this stuff matter? You know, what gets me excited? What gets me amped up and, you know, wanting to continue to do this kind of work? And so I did this brief little exercise, and I want to encourage you guys to do this as well, because we all need to know why we're doing the work that we're doing. And if we don't know why, and we can't tell people why we're doing it, then it's really hard for people to want to follow us. And so one of the major things that I realized, and I did not catch this when I first started my business, was that the reason why I want people, you know, to listen to my message, read my book, listen to this podcast, is because I don't want you to be alone. And the exercise that I did was I started writing out this sentence on a sheet of paper. I just wrote, I believe that people should listen to my podcast because, or I believe people should read my book because. And I answered that question, and then I would start the question again, you know, like, I believe that people should have a resource to learning how to fundraise. And then I would ask the question, you know, I'd say, I believe that people should have a resource to, you know, learn how to fundraise because, and I'd answer the question again, and then I'd repeat it, you know, so I did it 7 times over. And by the time I asked that question and I repeated it over and over again, I came to the point where it really was that I just don't want people to be alone. I know that I have the gift of encouragement, and so I want to encourage you, but I also want you to know that you're not alone, because it is lonely at the top. And when you're leading a nonprofit, when you're leading a fundraising campaign, sometimes it does feel like it's really lonely. I just remember spending days in my office, no matter what position it was in my back, backstory of fundraising. I just remember it was always like me and a notebook and my thoughts. And here I was feeling like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I had to figure out how I was going to raise all this money for these great causes. And it did. It just felt so lonely. And I just never wanted that. I wanted so desperately to figure out, how can I do this with other people so that this isn't lonely anymore? And what happened was on my third charity, and you guys have been following my story, but if you're new to the podcast, on the third charity that I started working with, that was when I was introduced to the American Cancer Society. And working for this huge organization, I started to understand what they were doing that nobody else was, and what was working. And the thing that was working was that people were so invested. They were so invested that they would give as much time as it took in order for this thing to be successful. So I used to really protect my volunteers in the years previous to that, where I was like, I don't want to take more time of my volunteer. My volunteers, I want to make sure that they didn't ever feel like I was asking too much or that I was being too forward. And so I kind of held back, and I was like, no, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And I just always felt like I was putting everything back on myself. And I was asking very little of my volunteers, thinking, well, they have a family and they have, their own jobs. And why would they want to spend all that time working on this charitable thing that I asked them to be a part of, And as soon as I walked into the doors of the American Cancer Society, I started to realize that sky was the limit. I did not have to restrict how many hours that I asked volunteers to give. I just needed to be very clear about what I was looking for. I had to make sure that those volunteers really understood what I needed. What was it going to take to serve in this particular role? And if they didn't have very many hours or they didn't have much time, well, then I put them in different roles based on what they had access to, how much time they had. So if they could only volunteer a couple hours, well, then I was going to have them volunteer the day of a fundraiser. I wasn't going to ask them to serve on the committee. I wasn't going to ask them to chair the event or chair the campaign. I was just going to ask them to come and volunteer the day of the event. But you would always like come across people, and I know I did, where it was like they really wanted to be in this and they had the skill set to give of their time. And so then I started to really process the information as far as, what do I need and what kind of person do I need to fill the position? And before I knew it, I had built out and obviously worked with a ton of volunteers, worked with my mentor and the people that I, looked up to within the organization. And we had built out this incredible committee of people who all were really sitting in their skills. They were sitting in the right chair. And in the book, Good to Great, that is a book that talks about getting people on the right seat on the bus, and if you have the wrong person in the driver's seat, you're not going to get to the destination that you want to get to. And I see this so often with our nonprofits, is that we just put people in positions because we need the help. And I'm here to tell you that you have the ability to put and recruit and deploy your team out there where they are sitting in the perfect seat for their skills. They have the right giftings. They have the right amount of time. It's the right season of life for them to serve for your cause. And they're going to do so much more for you than you could ever anticipate. But the thing is that you have to be able to identify the fact that there's going to be the right people, and then there's going to be people. It's not that they're the wrong people. It's just that they're not in the right seat. So if somebody doesn't have very much time, they don't really have a passion for your cause, well, then I'm not going to give them the top seats on my bus. I'm not going to give them front row seats, because I need to make sure that those are reserved for people who are really going to move our mission forward. So today in our conversation, as we talk about how to avoid being lonely at the top, you guys know my message. You know that I'm going to continue to tell you that you need a team to surround you. And last Friday, I hosted my July fellowship, and I had shared with you guys that this was going to be the last fellowship for a little while because I have decided that I really want to launch a group coaching program. And because I have had so many conversations with you guys about how you want to build out this fundraising team, but you just don't know how. It just seems so overwhelming. It seems daunting. Who am I going to ask? What am I going to ask of them? You know, if I host a meeting, like, what do I put on the agenda? How do I like even get this thing off the ground? And so after hearing this so many times, I'm just done, okay? I'm just done. And I'm ready. I'm ready to invest where I am going to spend 3 months with 7 of you. Okay, so I wanted to announce this on today's podcast because I want you guys to really think about this. If you feel alone in your fundraising, if you feel like you're the only one who cares about how much money is being raised, then you need a fundraising team. And the only way you're going to get a fundraising team to come around you is for you to be intentional and for you to take the time that's necessary to build this thing properly. And so that's why I wanted today to invite you guys to be a part of it. So I only have 7 seats. I'm not going to take more than 7 people. And if only 2 people sign up, then 2 people it is. Okay. So I'm not restricted on that at all, but I want to tell you that the first 7 people who say yes to this are the ones that are going to be a part of this program. And for the next 3 months, we're going to dig in and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to walk you through the entire process. And I'm actually going to join you on your first fundraising team call. So when you bring your team together, it doesn't matter if they geographically live close together or they're far away, but just know that, I mean, if you live in like Australia, I can't physically be there for your meeting with other Australians. Okay. So, if you do your team meeting virtually, like through Zoom video conference or Skype or something like that, I will come join you to help you set up that first meeting so that you can see how this is done. And I've been volunteering a lot of my time with the people who I personally support and those causes. And I've been starting to build these teams out and I just am like, okay, it works. And I know that you allow so many things to go through your head. So I'm like, I want to make sure that we have 3 months together to ensure that you you know what to expect. You know that you're going down the right path and you're doing everything right. So I wanted to invite you in. Think about it. We'll talk a little bit more before we wrap up here. But I want you to start to really think through whether or not this is something, it's the right timing, it's the right fit for you to start building a team to surround yourself. So this was really critical for me. I did not know about this fundraising team until about 10 years ago. And so 10 years ago, I was working under one of the leaders that I was, you know, really, I had admired her. She was building out this crazy team in Chicago, and I talked a bit about her in my book. And there was something about the way that she was doing this that I knew that it worked, because when you roll out a fundraiser that raises $1.8 million, you know that something is going on. I don't care how big your town is or how small your town is, $1.8 million for any nonprofit is a lot of money. And so something was going on. And of course, I talk about how to build this team out in my book, Fundraising Freedom. But the thing is that I know sometimes we just need a little kick in the pants. And sometimes we need a little handholding. And so that's what I'm here to do, is I want to do a bit of handholding for 7 of you. And I know that those seats are probably going to fill up fast, so I don't want you to wait. And the way that you can reach out to me is just shoot me an email, Mary. It's really super simple. Okay. Mary@maryvaloney.com. So Mary@maryvaloney.com, and Valoney is V as in Victor, A-L-L-O-N-I. And just tell me about whether or not you need a fundraising team to surround you, and we'll schedule a time to talk and we'll find out if this is a good fit for you. So I'm not letting everybody in. You do have to let me know why you want to build out a fundraising team, and I want to make sure that this is a good fit for you, because there is going to be a fee to be a part of this, and I don't want you to spend any dollars that aren't going to be effective for your cause. So whenever somebody pays me to be their coach or to help them through the process, I want to ensure that you are 10xing the funds that you're spending on me, that you're getting that back 10x or more in your fundraising efforts. And the thing is with the fundraising team is that I understand you got to invest a little bit at the beginning, but those people who you bring onto your team, they can fund you in no time. But the thing is that you've got to empower them. You've got to start inviting them in and sharing how you need help. How can they actually help you raise the funds that you need so that you can become fully funded, so that you can fulfill that big mission or that project that you are trying to fund? So if right now you're thinking about it and you're like, I know I've been pushing this off, putting this off, and it's time that I probably do this, because the end of the season is coming very fast. The end of the fiscal year, where, you know, people are the most generous at the end of the year. We know 31% of all funds are going to come in the month of December. And so your fundraising team can help catapult your fundraising and take you to a whole different level. And the thing that I see often is that once this fundraising team is off the ground, they will, number one, fund it. They will make sure that you are taken care of personally. They will want to make sure that they are invested fully before they start inviting other people in. So you'll start to see some quick gifts coming in just from the people that you invite onto your fundraising team. But I want you to be really aware here that we're not talking about inviting anybody and everybody. We are talking about bringing together the people that need to be at the front of your bus. They need to be the ones that are driving this thing. And you are the one that is navigating where the bus is going, but you are not in the driver's seat and you are not sitting in the front row seats. You are ensuring that this bus is going in the right direction because you're the one that has the vision. You are the one that has the plan that they're following. And so all of these people are looking to you as the leader. And if you don't feel like you're capable right now, you don't have a plan, you don't have a strategy, well, then it's time we get you a plan and a strategy, okay? So I want to do that and help you guys however I can in this. And don't feel any pressure to be a part of this. I just want to make sure that you guys know that this is available to you because, you know, I've heard from too many of you. Okay. And when I hear the same story over and over again, I can't sit still on it. I can't just sit back and say, oh, it's okay that you're not putting your team together. It's okay that you're not getting this figured out. No, I'm sorry. It's not okay. It's not okay, because you do need a team that surrounds you, because there's no reason why you should be carrying this load alone. And the only reason why I know this is because I was lonely. You know, I told you that my why is making sure that people don't feel alone, because I was that person. I sat in that seat for so many years where I was just trying to figure it out and I was trying to get people to raise money for me. And then I was like, why aren't these volunteers doing what I need them to do? And they aren't listening, they aren't following and aren't stepping up, and they're avoiding my calls or dodging my conversation. And then I started to realize that it was my strategy. I had no strategy, really. I had no strategy. So why was I going to think that these guys were going to step up and do more than what I even expected them to do? Because I wasn't telling them, I wasn't showing them by giving them an example for others, you know, what others were doing for us. I just did not even know that that was something that I needed to do. And so now, after doing this for so long, you know, after 10 years of implementing this idea, actually it's been more, it was 2007 that I started this, you know, rolling out this idea. So it's been 11 years and it works. And this is what breaks my heart, is when some people do start the team and then they back off on it, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, you just got this thing started. You just got this thing going. Don't give up now, because they're watching you. And if you're not a good leader, if you're not showing them that you're committed to this, they're going to back out well before before they should. I mean, they shouldn't back out, because they should see that you're totally in and they're going to match your desire and your passion for the work that you're doing. So I hope you can, you know, kind of grasp on this, that, I mean, it's not by chance that you don't know what to do, because you've never done this before. And I know sometimes I'm putting some concepts out there that nobody else is teaching on. So it's harder because you don't have as many examples to follow. And so that's why I wanted to have this team of 7 people, because then you have each other to start bouncing ideas and what thoughts are going through your head, what's going to work, what's not. And what happens is that you as a team will actually push each other to the next level, and you'll take your fundraising, even further than you ever thought possible because of the people that are pushing you on that team. So I tell you guys that I'm a part of a mastermind group. I have nonprofit and business leaders, guys that, you know, they've written books and they're out speaking and doing the work that I do. And the reason why I spend so much time with them is because I want to be pushed. And those guys know what I'm capable of doing. So they're pushing me to the next level. And so I love that synergy, what happens when you're in a team environment where ideas are flowing that would never come up in a one-on-one conversation. But now that you're in a group setting, it's like, well, duh, why didn't I ever think about that? And when more than one person says, do it, what are you doing? Why are you holding back? Like, you should be running this thing. You should be launching this. You should be inviting people in. And don't be afraid. Don't be, you know, don't push yourself, down, because you got this. Your cause is worth it. And when you start to hear that from other people, it starts to sink in and you're like, oh, why am I so afraid? Why am I so nervous? Why can't I just go do it? You know? And that's when really great things start to happen. So a year ago, right after I launched this podcast, I started a mastermind group like this where I had a group of, I think we had seven people in that group, seven or eight. Because at one point it was more like a Brady Bunch group. So there was nine of us at one point. But what happened was we were together for an entire year. And that's where I started realizing how important that synergy was with each other. And I did end that after a year. And that was only because I was like, they had it. They got it. They understood what needed to happen. So, but that's why I want to do a little bit of a shorter term here with this group coaching, you know, session, because I want to make sure that you guys see, you start off with right now, you don't have a team. And by the end of these 3 months, you are going to have a fully functioning, effective, volunteer-led fundraising team. So there's going to be real results. We're not sitting back. This isn't, you know, a counseling session. This is, we're getting some work done, we're getting it done, and we're making this thing happen. So right now, if you don't have a fundraising team and you want one, this is the group to be a part of. So be sure to shoot me an email, mary@maryvaloney.com, and let me know that you want in. And we'll regroup again back with the fellowship. I'm sure that the fellowships will come back again. But I just want you to know that I'm here for you guys. Like, I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear what your challenges and your struggles are, because I want to figure out a way to address it. And if there's a resource that I can provide to you, or if there is information that I can put out there that could really help you, don't be afraid to tell me. Don't be afraid to reach out. I know sometimes when we're in this podcast world and I'm coming to you through the airwaves, sometimes it feels like we're very distant and there's so, you know, like that I'm unreachable or untouchable. And I just want to tell you that is not the case at all. I am just a girl. I'm just a fundraiser who loves fundraising, and I love teaching people how to do this. So I'm not in some far off distant land. Due to the internet and the connection that we have, you have easy access. You know, you can just shoot me a message and I will respond. And so I'm actually putting on a fundraiser here in the next couple weeks. So I'm going to be a little bit bogged down with putting on that fundraiser. So if I don't respond immediately, that's, you know that I'm still here. But I do want you guys to reach out to me. Let me know that you are listening, that you, you know, are using this stuff. So don't be afraid. So today on, as we talk about how to avoid being lonely at the top, my message to you is, do not do this alone. And the way that you can avoid this is that you just pull this team together. I cannot tell you enough what a difference this made in my fundraising. I will never, ever go back the way that I used to do things. I will never be sitting at my desk by myself making decisions on my own. And, you know, there's a quote that's out there that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go together. And I want to go far. My vision is too big to go alone. And I can do it fast, but it's just not as fun, you know, and it's lonely. And that is not my plan, you know, and I want to do this together. I want to, you know, see this vision come to life. I want to make sure that you guys have the resources. I want to educate, encourage, and empower you. And I want you to raise as much money as possible so that you can go make an incredible difference in the world and you can go change lives, because that's why you got called into the work that you're doing, is because you got lives to change and there's no messing around. around. There's no time to waste here. So let's go get this done. Let's go invite some people in and empower them to go step up and go raise some funds for your incredible cause. So I hope to hear from you. I'm going to be expecting your message if this resonated with you. And at a minimum, I hope to, you know, especially stay connected through our Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook. Join us there if you're not already in there. And be sure to pick up a copy of Fundraising Freedom if you haven't already got the book, because all the tools are in there to build out this fundraising team. But if you need somebody to go with it with you, I'm here for that. So we're going to be starting on August the 16th, and I will be accepting those 7 people between now and August the 10th. So don't wait, because as soon as those 7 spots are filled, the session is closed and it will not open until probably another 6 months. Okay. So if you have 6 months to wait, that's fine. But if you don't have 6 months to wait and you need money in the bank, then be sure to reach out to me, mary@maryvaloney.com. And in the meantime, let's go change the world, one volunteer and $1 at a time. Have a great week.